"Lassiter, will you be my rider?" Jane had asked him.
"I reckon so," he had replied.
Few as the words were, Jane knew how infinitely much they implied. She wanted him to take charge of her cattle and horses and ranges and save them if that were possible. Yet though she could not have spoken aloud all she meant, she was perfectly honest with herself. Whatever the price to be paid, she must keep Lassiter close to her. She must shield from him the man who had led Milly Earne to Cottonwoods. In her fear, she so controlled her mind that she did not whisper this Mormon's name to her own soul. She did not even think it. Besides, beyond this thing she regarded as a sacred obligation thrust upon her, was the need of a helper, of a friend, of a champion in this critical time. If she could rule this gunman, as Venters had called him, if she could keep him from shedding blood, what strategy to play his flame and his presence against the game of oppression her churchmen were waging against her? Never would she forget the effect on Tull and his men when Venters shouted Lassiter's name. If she could not wholly control Lassiter, then what she could do might put off the fatal day. One of her safe racers was a dark bay, and she called him Bells because of the way he struck his iron shoes on the stones. When Jerd led out this slender, beautifully built horse, Lassiter suddenly became all eyes. A rider's love of a thoroughbred shone in them. Round and round Bells he walked, plainly weakening all the time in his determination not to take one of Jane's favorite racers. "Lassiter, you're half horse, and Bells sees it already," said Jane, laughing. "Look at his eyes. He likes you. He'll love you, too. How can you resist him?" "Oh, Lassiter, but Bells can run. It's nip and tuck between him and Wrangle, and only Black Star can beat him. He's too spirited a horse for a woman. Take him. He's yours."
"I just am weak where a horse is concerned," said Lassiter. "I'll take him, and I'll take your orders, ma'am."
"Well, I'm glad, but never mind the ma'am. Let it still be Jane." From that hour, it seemed, Lassiter was always in the saddle, riding early and late, and coincident with his part in Jane's affairs, the days assumed their old tranquility. Her intelligence told her this was only the lull before the storm, but her faith would not have it so. She resumed her visits to the village, and upon one of these she encountered Tull. He greeted her as he had before any trouble came between them, and she, responsive to peace if not quick to forget, met him halfway with manner almost cheerful. He regretted the loss of her cattle. He assured her that the vigilantes which had been organized would soon rout the rustlers. When that had been accomplished, her riders would likely return to her.
"You've done a headstrong thing to hire this man, Lassiter," Tull went on severely. "He came to Cottonwoods with evil intent."
"I had to have somebody, and perhaps making him my rider may turn out best in the end for the Mormons of Cottonwoods."
"You mean to stay his hand?"
"I do, if I can."
"A woman like you can do anything with a man. That would be well and would atone in some measure for the errors you have made."
He bowed and passed on. Jane resumed her walk with conflicting thoughts. She resented Elder Tull's cold, impassive manner that looked down upon her as one who had incurred his just displeasure. Otherwise, he would have been the same calm, dark-browed, impenetrable man she had known for 10 years. In fact, except when he had revealed his passion in the matter of the seizing of Venters, she had never dreamed he could be other than the grave, reproving preacher. He stood out now, a strange, secretive man. She would have thought better of him if he had picked up the threads of their quarrel where they had parted. Was Tull what he appeared to be? The question flung itself involuntarily over Jane Witherstein's inhibitive habit of faith without question, and she refused to answer it. Tull could not fight in the open. Venters had said, Lassiter had said, that her elder shirked fight and worked in the dark. Just now, in this meeting,
Tull had ignored the fact that he had sued, exhorted, demanded that she marry him.